I'll be a living with you. Sanctuary before you. Sing it unto him now. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary. That's your desire. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. And we'll start reading verse 15. Just remember now that the ones that are in the program, we're going to be practicing that, right? After the service, so remember that. We'll have foot washing and things, and communion, and then y'all can go right on into the practicing for the play. And also remember to pray much for Brother Aaron. He will be preaching Wednesday, and then Wade will be taking next Sunday. And Lord willing, we'll be up at Brother Richard Wilson's for the Sunday there preaching for him. So just remember us. He has pretty well committed himself to come and be with us on the fellowship meeting in January, so we'll be praying about that. So just pray that, you know, I ask him to, if he would come and preach a fellowship meeting weekend for us, and I hope so, because that'll be in January. I think, is that all the announcements? Anything else? All right. Matthew 15, start verse 15. Father, your love and grace is what we desire this afternoon, because we know and realize that there's nothing in any of us that would be worthy. So we pray that you would just come now and speak to our hearts. Forgive our sins and guide us in your love and understanding, and let us walk in you, Father. And as you speak to us, that you would give us understanding ears that we may be able to hear. Father, forgive our sins and cleanse us and keep us. And let your light shine in each one of our hearts. Open thy word that we may walk therein, Lord. And open our eyes that we may be able to see how to walk. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 15, verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now immediately you know that we're going to be dealing with the parts of man, the outside, inside, and things to, you know, be able to get a point across to you in a little bit of what, you know, I believe the Lord wants us to see, and it's opened up a better understanding to me, and I pray that it will to you. Now, in doing this, we've been talking about faith. Now, I won't be dealing specifically. All I'm going to be dealing this afternoon is, and you keep this in mind, see you that on tape or whatever, and make sure you get back and listen to the next ones, because basically what I'm going to be dealing with is just like conscious and subconscious. But I'm not going to be dealing much about the born-again experience. I'm going to just be dealing about what they are. All right, does everybody understand me now? I know I'll have to say some things, but still I'm just going to be dealing with man and what man is. You know, we talk about that man is a triune being, you know, body, spirit, soul, and we go through the five senses of the body, the five senses of the spirit, and then the one sense, either faith or doubt, of the soul or the inward part. But I want to just deal with like that there's two parts of a man or a person, you know, and it's really your conscience part of you and your subconscious. All right? Now, we know that the prophet has taught us, and we'll get back to it, a reason to say it's on faith. This is number 15, and just put the title, the subconscious, so it'll give us something to think on. But he said faith lays in your subconscious, so that's where we want to get to. But I believe we need to cover just really what we are. And then we'll deal more in later. And I wrote a note in there, if I was you, I would listen very carefully because we may be covering some very interesting points, you know, to help us understand. But now you get what I'm saying, so I want to repeat it where somebody won't come along later and say, he said this and I'm this or that's this or that's that. I'm just talking about a human mortal being, not a born-again Christian. We'll get to those things as we go along. We're just talking about the fact of, you know, body, spirit, and soul, and a mortal human being, or a human, a person, and dealing with the fact that we are two parts, which is a conscious and a subconscious. All right? And I believe this will be very needful to us, you know, as we continue on with the message on faith. Now, Webster says, conscious is aware of one's own existence, thoughts, surroundings, you know, right? Having the mental faculties fully active. All right. So now, the reason I said we'll take it as a human being, a two-part person, and we're not dealing, as I said, body, spirit, soul like that, but we're dealing with the conscious and the subconscious, all right? And see, then your conscious part of you will be dealing with your body, the see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, and your spirit realm, which is memory, reason, conscience, affections, love, you know, like that, the senses of the spirit. So just put that, if you're making your thought point where you're doing it, to just say, well, the conscience covers this part of the body and the spirit, all right? But then we'll get into the subconscious part of you, see, which is dealing in the soul as to help us to understand, all right? So now that just get that clear, and then you won't be going along and say, well, you're off here and off there, all right? But now, conscious is the awareness part of you, are the mental faculties that work, you know, are active. The see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, the memory, reason, that works through your conscience part of you. And that then in science, they say you got a conscious and a subconscious part of your brain. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not trying to deal with that. You know, all right? I wouldn't have much concept of what they mean. They say the front part of your brain is your workings of, you know, and then you got a back part of your brain. Well, that's fine. We know that. But I want to get down to what you really are in the inner being, to where we can understand. And in doing that, then the word subconscious, which means sub, means underneath, like submarine, subterranean, etc. The word sub put on to conscious means it's something that is, as Webster says, existing or operating in the mind beneath or beyond the consciousness. All right? So that's your subconscious. So your conscious is something that you're conscious of. We're conscious of being in the building today. All right? But the subconscious is a part of you that is there, that's down below that. That's, how would you explain it? See? Beyond your consciousness. Like I've always said, you say, Brother Branham said, draw three circles. That's body, spirit, and soul. You know, you just make three circles, you know, and you say that's body, spirit, and soul. Well, that's wonderful because that's the explanation to the mind. But show me where the body stops of memory, reason, and conscience, and the spirit starts. See, I mean, do you have a part that goes over so far, and then it starts onto another part, or, you know, where does the memory, reason, conscience come in? Isn't it all just over-related, you know, all together, and it just makes you one being, all right? So now, when you get into the conscious and subconscious, we're going to have to divide it into bases that you live in the conscious realm, you know. You live in the time realm, the conscious realm, but it's very rarely that the subconscious is active, as we would call it, or becomes noticeable to you. All right? But yet, don't forget one thing. It's there all the time. We'll get to it in a minute where the prophet said that's where we live. Right. See, but I want to approach it to where that you can just kind of follow me as a natural person with two parts, conscious and subconscious. And then watch the prophet as he brings it down, dividing that because, you know, I thought about using it, which you can, because maybe use it later in another message, Hebrews 4:12. How that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing between the joint and the mire, and the soul and the spirit. See, the only thing that can divide between soul and spirit is a revelation from God's word. Because the word soul can be interrelated all the way through, whether you're Christian or not. The word spirit is interrelated all the way through. No different definitions for a Christian than it is for a sinner. It just means spirit, or it just means soul. So you got to go to the before and the after, or the context and the text, or whatever you say it, and find out what is being talked about to understand whether you're talking about a Christian or a non-Christian. All right. So now watch what we're doing. Now let's just take a little time and listen to what the prophet had to say on these things, and it may set a stage to where that something will just click in to where we really understand. You know, to where that you can really see what you are, you know, and get down to the part of you that you know is you, you know, where you're living at. Then maybe we'll be able to understand how that we can have problems and frustrations, how that we can even have wrong thoughts, we can have problems, temptations, you know, we can have troubles. But inside, we can just have an inner peace right in the midst of trouble. Amen. Right. See? And don't you wish you could get that man on the outside? Right. You know, don't you wish we could live in that? Well, the prophet tells us about those things. Right. You know, and tells us how that it works. Now, we'll get down in a minute to where that he'll explain some things about conscious and subconscious. And it was really amazing to me when he began to express it. And a lot of times we just pass over it where he went down and had the brainwave test, you know, thing, cooked up to the nerve ending some way for his full physical that they were doing. I don't know why they hooked him up, but they done something. And the man come back in there and he said, "You're an amazing person." And he explains, and we'll read it, where he said, you know, that you got a conscious part of you and you got a subconscious part of you. But said, man said, "You could stand right there and dream a dream." They were amazed at the machinery to prove that his conscious and subconscious was right together. Now it may click, as I said in a minute, what he's talking about. See? And what's going on there, whereas ours don't. You know? But whose problem is it? See, now, so let's just go real slow and, you know, bear with me. And as I said, now, I wrote it in here. If I was you, I'd listen. I wrote like, if I were you, all of you, I would pay close attention to the next few messages because I believe it will unfold something unto us. And I wrote myself a note in case I forget it. I would ask you to, and it's preached in... Well, I had it wrote down. I got laying on my desk. Get the message Super Sense. Super Sense. No, it's not. It's at home. The Message Super Sense. It's a little small book, only, you know, just 25 pages. And just get it and read it. And read it. And read it. And then I'm going to preach out of it. But, see, just read it and underline things about the conscious and the subconscious, and you'll be very helpful to me to help me to understand, and we can all understand better. Now, you know, you can go to faith, the substance, and different things, but that super sense is one that really covers a lot of what I want you to think on. Well, let's start reading. All right. Healing Line, preached in 1953, 0907, in the evening. How many in here ever dreamed a dream? Let's see, there's at least two-thirds of the people dream dreams. That's about normal. About one-third of an audience of this size doesn't dream dreams. There's many people that's never had a dream in their life. What is a dream? It's your subconscious. Now say here's a normal man standing here, the first conscience. And here's his subconscious. When this becomes inactive, see your conscious, while he's in sleep, why, this one becomes active. While he's in this one, he can dream about things he did in this conscience. Then when this one is inactive, he comes back into this conscience. Now, Brother Branham is not trying to explain, to the scientists what makes a human work. You know what he's trying to explain? Check before and after of every one of these quotes I give you and see what he's trying to explain. He's trying to explain divine healing and salvation. Now, he's not just trying to decide what you are and draw circles and, you know, as I said about that, and say body, spirit, and soul. We got it now. It's three circles. What? Yeah, Dick's got a pretty good one right around his stomach. We need to lay him down where we can see the circle here, you know. Pretty good waistband, you on tape, what I mean. But he's trying to explain faith in things. The new birth, what it is to be born again. And he's trying to explain, you know, how this works. So now, you know, if nothing else, write that down and think on that line. See? Especially when you get to the Message Super Sense. All right. Says, next one is Do You Now Believe? 1952-0817. How many here ever dreamed a dream? Let's see your hand. Dreamed a dream. Well, it's two-thirds. He goes through the same thing again. Now, what is a dream? Let's take it. In the scientific stand, we're taught that a dream is your subconscious in action. Here's your real conscience, your first conscience. And when you go to sleep here, your subconscious comes in. Now, God can deal in dreams, but it's not too accurate. He did with Joseph and King Benezer, if there's an interpretation. All right. But he says, now, when your dream is your subconscious in action. But now he's explained that probably about a third of the people in the world never dream. And if I don't have it in here, I'll make sure and state it to you. He says that there's just some people, he said, that just go so much to sleep, he said you can do what you want to around them and ain't going to wake them up. But he said a person that dreams doesn't sleep very sound. They're more shallow in their sleep. All right, now we've got these in here that's got into this sleep acne bill and they found out that they're asleep, but they ain't asleep. And the wives and husbands or whatever has been, you know, on the other side of it are tickled to death because most of the time those that are in that form are very hard snorers, you know, that do a lot of loud snoring. So when they put the machine on, I guess at least it muffles the sound. I don't know. But some people, have you ever, you know, how many here? See, we'd say, and how many here? How many here is never had a dream? You know, is anybody in here that's never had a dream? No, there's not in this crowd anybody that's never had a dream. All right. See, then we're above the average for doing, because two-thirds of an audience, he said, was that had dreams, one-third hadn't. All right. But see, if you dreamed a dream, what was that? Did you make it work? Now, the prophet explained it in here that a dream is only just seconds. You say, I dreamed all night last night. See, that's what you thought. The rest of the time, you're snoring asleep. But you only dream just in seconds. You know, it's just a second that you're dreaming. Because it's in a part of you that's not dealing with your conscience realm so much. So it's in getting into more of a supernatural realm, as we call it. A greater realm, a greater part of it. But remember now, what I'm talking about is that that greater realm is the greater realm of you. See, that's why I've never dreamed what Aaron dreams. You understand? Danny don't dream what I dream. And the prophet explains to us that sometimes what you're doing is you're dreaming what has already been. All right? Now, I know, and it goes on, I couldn't find one to show, but we know that it goes on to where that you can dream of a future thing, because that's in the Bible. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, well, now the prophet said dreams are always based upon what you've done or seen or something that happened. And I thought it like this, and I thought, well, now, Lord, what am I going to say when I get to that point, you know, because there are dreams of the future. Naaman had a dream of chariots dashing in the streets, or a vision or something of it. And so you could say, well, I had a dream and it came to pass. I've had one dream in my life that I saw happen the next day, period. Just like that. It wasn't nothing, didn't change, it was perfect. All right. See? But I got to thinking about it. You know, the Lord, He sees everything. There's no past, present, or future to the Lord. All right. So to Him, it's already happened. See, to Him, Naaman had they were already Buicks and Oldsmobile jostling in the streets. So He could tell Naaman about it in a dream. So maybe sometimes a future dream is something that, the Lord is showing you. Yeah. And it's, it would deal more than just a normal conscious and subconscious part of a human being. So, because I got one somewhere in here where the prophet said, that if I don't, I'll bring it next time. He says if you get the Holy Spirit working right in there and you have a dream, he said that's a spiritual dream. That's a spiritual dream that you can say that it come from the Lord, and all like that. All right, but now let's get into something. He says now there's the conscience. Now watch this part here. In the inner man, preached in 1953, 12:12, there is a conscience, number 3 on your notes, and a subconscious. It's just like if we start overseas and by ship, and there's a man sitting up here. He's the one who gives the orders. The man goes down in the ship to run the ship down here. Well, he don't see where he's going, but he just takes orders from up above. Well, now he says, steer to the left or the right, or give this engine more and that, or whatever it is. He just works by orders. All right. Now, before we read that next part, I want you to think. When Brother Branham is explaining, how many of you did it ring a bell like this? Yeah, but it's the man down in the engine room that runs the ship, not the man up in the top. Because that's the way the prophet talks about it. But here it sounds like he's talking about the man up in the top running it. But just remember, the man down in the engine room is causing everything to work because he is working the motor, as we'd say. He's revving it up. He's doing this or that or the other. But he's taking his orders from up above. And see, we in the Christian realm now, we're taking our orders from above. But yet, where's the man that runs the ship? He's down inside of us. The man that runs the ship is inside of us. See? But yet, he's still giving his orders coming from above to guide us. So don't get confused. I run across that because it looked like one time Brother Brown was explaining, well, that's the man up here in the top runs the ship. Then the next time he'd say, the man down in the engine room runs the ship. See, don't misunderstand him. He's explaining the man up above. Because watch him. See, but way down in the midst of us, here in our heart, is the subconscious. And it takes orders from up here. Well, now, you've heard me on the platform many times say, no doubt, I was just hearing a tape from Orangeburg meeting the other day, about a person who was crippled and was healed, and how it was speaking, how the Holy Spirit speaking, you know, like telling him things that's going on. Because right? It's the man in the top above us that's running this ship. Now, on a natural ship, the man down in the engine room, he's running the ship because he's the guy pushing the levers. But he's taking orders from above. Stir right, stir left. You know, he's the one that's turning the ship, but without the man in the engine room. You understand what I'm saying? See, then God above us is leading us because God is in us. That's why it's hard to preach something that's natural because you get into the natural and the spiritual. All right? God testifying of his gifts, 52:07-13e. Now here's what it is. Here's a man's conscience right here, the conscience. You live in here. Living now, excuse me. We're taught by science that you're dreaming. You're in your subconscious. You ever see a person dreaming? You think you dreamed all night. It isn't that long. Brother Brown snaps his finger. Just a moment. A little bit. You've done dreamed hours of dreams, you think. But just a moment, a flash while it's going through. The person that's dreaming is not sound asleep. But you people who does not dream dreams, your subconscious is way back to a place where you do not reach it in sleep. You can't help that. You can't help it. You were born that way. Something that has the rulership over you and made you that way, you can't help it. And you people who dream dreams, you can't help that, was it? You don't have no control of it. It's your subconscious. So now where are you at? What are you doing? You're dreaming in your subconscious. Right? And you have nothing to do with it. You can't make yourself dream a dream. You've heard the prophet say and explain it. Say, dream me a dream. He said, you can't dream me a dream. He said, something else has to work that. Right? See? But that's what we are now. Listen. Life story, 1954, 314, just giving some of these were that, you know, that you'll see what I'm saying is right. Let me show you. Here's the first. What are you doing when you are dreaming? It's a subconscious. Do you all agree? Hear that? Now look, here is a man in his first conscience. Here is a man in his second conscience. That's the reason I'm reading these to where you won't say, well, we don't know where there's two consciences or whatever. Here's the man in his second conscience, his subconscious. Now, when this one is inactive, this one becomes active. And then he goes on explaining the dual conscience and how that you, if you could get them both to agree. Now, I want to deal with that later on. If you could get that conscious and subconscious to ever agree on anything. And we'll get back to this when we get back preaching, that Brother Brown says, that if you get that conscience saying you're healed, you're healed. And you can get that subconscious saying you're healed, you're healed. He said, it's going to take care of it. And I think I gave you part of one in here where that he talks about the doctor that gave him that examination and told him about, you know, how close his conscious and subconscious was. He said, there are people that when they get sick, he said, and you tell them that they're dying. He said, if they just say, well, okay, well, I'll just live best I can. Yeah. He said, they'll die pretty quick. But he said, if it's the person that you say that to them and they say, well, I'm a Christian. It doesn't make no difference to me about dying. I just enjoy myself. He said, that can put that disease in remission. Yeah. He said, that actual statement can actually put that sickness in remission. Why? Because you're not afraid of it. You're not afraid of the things because you're just okay. He said it'll actually do it. Now what's the next one? Be of good cheer, 1954, 07:21. Now on the subconscious. When this outer conscience becomes inactive, this conscience becomes active to a dreamer. It's just like an illustration, right? It's the first conscience, the normal man, his subconscious. When this one active at nighttime when he's asleep, this one's active, or inactive at nighttime when he's asleep. All right? Many people dream dreams. All right? Go on down, just pick up a few, same message, paragraph 30. Just pick up the thoughts as I got them underlined. See, the seer, his subconscious is not back by the wall, neither is it here, it's right here. They're both right together. See? Now, he explains that, but he explains a difference. If you want me to bring them, I'll be glad to. You can have a gift of prophecy, you know. In other words, you can prophesy at times or whatever like that. He doesn't explain that as having the conscious and subconscious together. It's only the prophet that he is, or the word prophet. So you can have a gift of prophecy. That doesn't put your... Don't go along and say, well, I've prophesied a few things, so my conscious and subconscious must be close together. They got close together when you prophesied. Because remember now how we preached on the message, faith for the time. Now, Brother Branham covers the subconscious of Abraham, the subconscious of Moses. But they're not born again Christians. So then take what I'm saying about it and just understand it, that you can have a gift of prophecy and prophesy and say things that are true. But that don't make your conscious and subconscious right together. But a true prophet like Brother Branham is born with those things right together, that he can dream a dream while he's standing wide awake. See a vision. See? Of things. All right. Now then watch what it's doing. Now here's what's always been a problem with me. It's because I've always tried to understand the difference in conscience and subconscious, and tried to check my own self to see what I was, you know, and trying to understand. Now, but I've had trouble with that, trying to. And I've preached on these things. I've preached on subconscious. I believe what I preached is the truth. But I believe it's time to move up a little bit in the realm now for the understanding of all of us. Because listen to the next few statements the prophet makes. Now remember, we were dealing with subconscious just being a dreamland. Or dreams. You know, you go to dream, you go to sleep, you dream. That's your subconscious. But now, the next few statements is going to take that out of the way to show you the real truth of what you are, if you'll understand it. All right? And like I said, I've had partial understanding of this, but the Lord has helped me to understand. The message, Uncertain Sound, 1955, 731. As I was saying a few days ago, either here or somewhere, speaking on the lie detector. Now, I think this is the one above, where he said a lie detector won't, you can't, you know how he said about it, you can't make a lie detector lie. You can't lie, because you're made that way. There's something inside of you. And you can say, well, that's my conscience. No, it's on down inside of you. You can lie in your conscience. See? You can lie in your memory, reason, conscience, and the see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. You can lie like everything in there. But they hook up the machine to check you out, and you can't lie. Why? But you put it on a dog and it doesn't register. Why? It's because a human being has one thing that a dog don't have. And that's a soul. Now listen to what your prophet had to say. Put a lie detector on you and try to impersonate that the truth and try to say that it's truth. But down on the inside of you, in the subconscious, lays a place called the soul. And in this intellectual mind, does not govern that vibration of the system. The intellectual mind doesn't govern the vibration of the system of the soul. This mind is only a detector. Excuse me, director. It will direct you, and it's very incapable of bringing you to God. Your mind. Your mind will only direct you. It's incapable of bringing you to God. But Brother Dale, if we could just preach it so that we could touch that person's emotional side. And Brother Branham said, you get a person in the altar through emotional situations, he said it's 10 times harder or greater harder the second time to try to get them in the altar. If you're only dealing on the emotional side. See, I know this is contrary to the people of the message, 90%, because they're built on emotional systems. And they get up and tell the stories, and it's like, the one that sickens me out is the people that get up and they tell these stories, and the people just weep and cry, and it makes me sick, because I've stood and done it, I've seen it done. I've seen people tell about Brother Branham and the family, or some loved one, or mama, or something, and everybody in the crowd is just crying, just got their... And you can stand and preach all day long about the blood of Jesus Christ and Him dying for your sins. Oh, well, I wish you'd hurry up and get through. I'm getting sleepy. And you tell me that's you want to deal in emotional. I've had people to tell me, told you about it. The man told me up in Ruth, or told a group that was standing there, we were talking, and I was getting ready to maybe give him some money to help him to go to the missionary field. He said, we send in people deliberately to tell they're sick when they're not. He said, where they can get up and go. Ask Brother Dick about what they used to do. People would be sitting in the wheelchair and get up and go to the bathroom, come back and they'd roll them out, and then they'd get up and they claim they're healed. What? Trying to work something up. So that's dealing in your body and your spirit. That ain't dealing with subconsciously. I'm trying my best to deal with you in your subconscious right now. I'm trying my best to speak to that inner part of you called the soul. Because only the birth is in the soul. Not in the body and the spirit. It's in the soul. See? So what did he say? Inside of you, in the subconscious, lays a place called the soul. And then his intellectual mind does not govern that vibration of the system. That's why they could show Brother Branham the difference. They could show him that right there that was so close with him. Because it'd record. All right? The mind is only a director. It will direct you. And it's very incapable of bringing you to God, your mind. You cannot know God by your mind intellectual. It's one of the resources or the channels that would lead you to it, but your soul is what governs you. You are what you are by your soul. Now, what is a soul? That's the real you. That's you. I can be standing right here today in my body and my spirit and totally being deceiving you to think that I'm a Christian. I can act like one. I can talk like one. I can live like one before you and do all the things. But how do you find out whether I'm right or not? What was it this morning? Give them the word test. Keep quoting Scripture to me and see and one day I'll go off of it. Then you know right real quick there's something wrong. Because you've reached the real inner part of me. Because that soul in you, listen, that soul in you cannot stop that lie detector machine from registering, right? You can't keep that thing from registering. Why? Because it's working on that conscious parts. All right? So then neither can the devil that's in you hide enough from the Word of God that the Word can't expose him. He can't do it. The devil that's in you somewhere, if you're not born again today, if I'm not born again, somewhere one day, I'm going to face the Word that somebody says to me that I'm not going to agree with. I may agree with 99% of it, but all it took was one in the garden. See, so it's the soul. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Why, you hypocrites, how do you speak good things?" When they was calling him good master. Now they call him good master. And then what did they tell him later? Beelzebub. Come on. When they was calling him good master and so forth, said, "Out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the lips. In your heart you hate me, and your lips, and in your lips you call me good master." He said, "You hypocrites." Listen. See, your soul is thinking one thing, and you're speaking with your lips another thing. What a case. What a horrible thing. What a deceitful thing is a hypocrite. For out of their mind they say one thing when their soul says another. So what is your subconscious now? It's your soul. Now, to define something to you, just to where you won't get confused or maybe confuse you, as I said about, you can't define the difference between body, spirit, and soul other than, you know, just defining it and calling it, because it overlaps and lays over each other. So does your conscious and your subconscious. And see, we just described, the prophet said, your subconscious is where you dream. Huh? But wouldn't it be that your conscious and subconscious could lay so close until Satan could give you dreams and them not be of God? Okay? Maybe that'll help straighten out something, or maybe confuse you one. But just think on it. Show us the Father, and it'll satisfy. 1956, 0422. Look at the last paragraph. Here's what happens. Here, many times I notice in the meeting, he's just describing healing, watching these tapes as they come back through the line of lines of discernment. The people will be sitting there, look like they're a million miles away. It's like some of you most of the time. They don't think of something. They're even thinking about healing, but it's not their intellect here working. It's their subconscious working. Your subconscious is in your soul. Now, if he's describing one who's trying to come to divine healing, he's saying your subconscious will cut you off. But if he's saying the other way, he's saying we need to get to the subconscious. So you decide what he's saying. See, because your subconscious is your soul. All right, listen to what he says now. The way back, preached 1962, 11:22. This is when he went to the doctor, and the doctor came back out and said, I said, "Do you remember the little wire?" The doctor's hooked up the wires, and it's supposed to be the line, you know, there. I said, "Doctor, what makes you dream? Did you dream?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What is it? A part of you that's dreaming?" He said, "Your subconscious." I said, "A normal human, here's one conscious, and here's a subconscious. And you have to go to sleep to get into that conscious, you know, to get into the subconscious. You just told me," said, "I found something, Brother Branham. Again, I can't explain it." Said, "It's not your nerves." He said, "It's something inside your nerves. I said, "My soul?" He said, "Yes. It's just what makes you what you are." Now, what about a man that they found his soul? Now, is he trying to describe his makeup? I think he's trying to describe what we need. Wouldn't it be great if we were all prophets? Wouldn't it? But we're not. But what is he trying to get us to do? We'll try to go along in this and later. Trying to get us to get our conscious and subconscious together. Because he said that's what it was with him. The doctor said your conscious and subconscious is together. He said you can dream a dream standing up, wide awake. He was questioning or talking to the doctor. Said, in other words, what are you saying? Are you saying that's my soul? He said, yes. So now your soul is your subconscious. Your body is, and spirit is conscious forms of you. Your subconscious, as I tried to say here a while back in preaching, you know, a lot of times we don't hear. I wish I could hear from my real soul every day. But you know why I don't? Because I don't make much contact with him myself. I let everything else get in the way. I let all of my thinking motivate me until it runs me haywire. See, when I should just stop back and walk into that rim inside of me and said, all things work together for good. But I know you don't, because I don't. And I know, Bob, because I don't, I know you don't, because we're all human. And it would to God that we lived in that subconscious all the time. Now, that don't mean your soul goes away from you and goes somewhere else. It just means you ain't making contact. You got it cut off somewhere. Listen to what he says on the next one. Looking for Jesus, 1954, 0228 in the evening. And now, what is a seer? What is a vision? It's another dimension. It's another outside the five. It's a sixth sense. I want to ask you something. How many in here, you know you got a subconscious, don't you? We are conscious of that. What? That's the feller that subconscious is causing you all of the trouble tonight. It don't agree with this one out here. It's scared and backs up. But when it becomes in harmony with one another, and this one becomes in harmony with God's Word, you got it going then. Now, what could be a more of a simple explanation? What could be more simple to understand us as human beings where our trouble is at? We need to get them together working. We live in the conscious realm. We need to yield ourselves to the subconscious, to where that we can see the real being of who we are. Now notice he said, now here's your first conscious, here's the first conscious, here's the second conscious. And a normal man, you're, when you're dreaming, you're in your subconscious. How many of you ever dreamed a dream? Right. Now, what are you trying to say, Brother Dale, and what is Brother Branham trying to say? He calls your subconscious a dream, or a dreamland, or dreaming. Then he covers your conscious as your soul. The soul of a human being is more real than the body. It's more real than the spirit realm. It's more real than any of this wood, concrete, etc., that we stand on. Because it's the real you. The subconscious is the soul of the individual. Now remember, I told you I wasn't explaining Christianity. I'm only talking about soul and conscience and realms and things. We'll get into the Christian realm next. And show what works in those things. Just talking about a normal human being. But to understand ourselves. Now, do you remember when you was a sinner? I well remember when I was a sinner and I'd go out and I'd do wrong and I'd come home and I would feel dirty. I would feel, you know, like, well, I shouldn't have done that. I never had a temper. You had to push me to a place, but once you did, then it was gone, because once that you pushed me to that spot, somebody got hurt. But I didn't, you know, it took a long time to get me up to that place. I could take a lot of beating before I come into that position. And I guess that's just part of my natural life. Because you see, down inside of me, I'm not saying I was a Christian, I'm trying to explain all of us. If you'll listen, you'll think about it yourself. That you'd go out and do something wrong. Maybe you go steal something or you go cheat on do something, you know. Do something wrong. And you feel like you shouldn't have done that. We call that a sub, call it a conscious part of us, because we call it a moral obligation. But who's really doing the work? Because even in a lost person, the conscious part of a lost person, whether you want to make it sub or natural or outside, it will condemn you for doing wrong. Then you must override your conscience to be able to go out and do what you're doing. Something tells you don't do that. Then you say, well, it's okay. Everybody else is doing it. See, what did the prophet say? You sear your conscience. In other words, you cut off. Because in your body you want that. Drinking, smoking, whatever it is. And your spirit is memory, reading, and conscience, and dealing with, oh, that was fun the lifetime I done it. But something inside of you says, don't do it. I'm not talking about a Christian now, I'm just talking about us as plain sinners, everybody. If I'd have listened to that when I was there, I would have not done the things I done while I was in the world. Because I well remember how that would come up to me. And how that something would just say, that's not right. I never was one that could, you know, I could get as mad as a hornet at you. But in 2 minutes it was gone. It was just gone. I didn't harbor it, or what you call the word of it. I didn't keep it lingering. It was gone. But you can override that until you keep holding that, until you keep on, until you finally just keep on, you'll start just living in that realm of hatred. Because even a sinner, what we're talking about now, he is a child of God by creation, not by a new birth. Adolf Hitler was a child of God by creation as well as anybody, because God allowed his life to come. God gave him his soul and his spirit. If not, where to get it? The devil can't give it to you. I don't care how much them idiots out there in the message will try to describe, you know, the devil can give you a soul. The devil can't give you a soul. He perverts the nature of your soul. But listen, church, that's where the trouble is today. Is trying to decide which one's right between the conscious and the subconscious. One telling you not do it, the other telling you to go ahead and do it. Because even from that man on the inside that will tell you not to do it, he'll also, if it's the devil, he'll turn around and still tell you to do it. Because that's where the deceiving part is at. Do you wind up your whole being? How many of you served the devil when you was out in the world? You now no trouble between your body and your spirit and your soul, did you? I still ain't figured out Sister Harris back there and they're going them dances with Brother Harris. I ain't got that in yet. Maybe I shouldn't mention her name on the internet, but she don't care. But listen, I never could figure out how Brother Tatum, as sweet as Brother Tatum is, Sister Tatum said, you didn't even ask him what he wanted for breakfast. She said it until he was awake for quite a while. Now, I can't see that because Brother Tatum just so sweet. But, you know, conversion does a lot of things. But are you listening to what I'm saying? The subconscious of an individual then can be labeled as the soul. Because that's the real you. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Brother Branham saw them beyond the curtain of time in their soul. And even God, the angel of the Lord, there telling them this is souls on the altar. He describes that when the Lord Jesus went to hell, he saw them people in their soul. But he saw real people. He didn't see spooks and floating around clouds. He saw people. He come back and described it as women with painted faces and all kind of things on. Yeah. Right? He saw it and come back and told about it. Your soul is the real you. I can deceive you with my body and spirit, but you put a lie detector onto my soul, or subconscious, if you want to call it, whatever. You put it on there, and it won't lie. No matter how much I train it, it won't lie. Now, I know that you can pull tricks with sticking pins in your hands and burning cigarettes and make those nerve endings jigger about, but it still won't lie. It'll tell it like it is, because you're a child of God by natural creation. And by being that, you have a moral obligation for serving of God. You have a creator, and you have that within your heart to think about him, even though you're a sinner. But if you can get them to work it, now let's get down to something. Let's get down to talking about getting them to working together. But this is what I want you to think about. How is it that God can ever get down into a sinner's soul to save them? Because he's got to go through your see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, through your memory, reason, conscience, and affections and things, to be able to reach the soul, to get the soul to listen. Right? Where is the word planted at? It's not in your brain. The prophet said it's just a director of your mind. Out of the heart. What? The soul. Not out of the thumping gizzard of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the soul, the mouth speaketh. From the soul, the inner being, the heart of you. Watch him. Number 14. Be not afraid. Excuse me. Be of good cheer. 54:07:21. Now, if you get that man up here to say forward, this man down here say forward, you'll go forward. If you can get God to say, listen, if you can get God to say, I am the Lord that healeth thee, this first conscience says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, the subconscious says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, you're going forward. All right, go on reading. But when God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee, and the subconscious said, or this conscience said, I believe it so. And the subconscious says, are you quite sure? Then you're not going anywhere. You're just running around in a circle. The only way you can get saved is to God to come down through your conscience part of you and contact you and plant a seed word into your heart, soul, in the soul, and then the Holy Spirit can come in to quicken that and make it alive. Now your soul has been born again. But get what I'm trying to say if you don't get nothing else. If we can get the both of them to say in the same thing. Now, he wasn't even talking there of having to be a Christian. A sinner can receive divine healing, right? You know why? Because their conscience and their subconscious is saying the same thing. Their conscience is saying, I am the Lord that healeth all of that. Their subconscious is saying, the conscience, both are saying, I am the Lord that healeth. And it works. Say it until from the conscious until the subconscious can take over. Every time you hurt, say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Every pain you have, say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Well, Brother Dan, I can't do that. No, you can lay there and grumble. What time you're grumbling? Oh, I'm just hurting all over. I'm just hurting. Start praising the Lord. Well, I can't praise the Lord when I'm sick. Why not? You're going to grumble and fuss about your sickness. Why not just saying, by his stripes I'm healed? Quote it until you possess it. One man back there said, I'll preach faith. One of the great men of the time said, I'll preach faith till we get faith. All right, see, in that subconscious realm of you, keep quoting it until something happens. Until the healing comes. Look at the next one. Looking unto Jesus, 1954, 2:28 in the evening. Look at just the last few words. And I said this afternoon, get your subconscious and this conscious, number 15 on your notes, and God's Word in connection, and watch what takes place. Because you see, that's what has to do when you get born again. You got to get your conscience and your subconscious both together. The prophet is not describing just his ministry. He said that was a gift, the way he was made. He said some people are made that cannot dream dreams. Would you say a person that couldn't dream a dream couldn't be saved? But yet his subconscious is a way off away from him. What do you got to do? Now listen, I'm a minister and I'm telling you what I do. I try to preach sometimes until I get you from way off out there to draw you straight to the Word that I'm talking about. To try to get you from a negative thought about things. Well, I'm sick and everything's bad. Everybody's on to my feelings. Right, Sister Anna? Yeah. I can say things about Al and Anna. You know. But listen. Preach. The prophet said, what does a preacher do? What did he say he does? He said, he breaks a spell that's over you. That's all I'm doing. It's breaking the spell that's over you by preaching the gospel. God has to speak to your inner man. I'm trying my best to speak to it, but I can't get there. But the words that I bring, the Holy Spirit can take that and drop it right on down into the heart. Until, like the people have said, you know, said that William Branham said he called me a buzzard. The other one said he called me an eagle. Said the same thing. According to what you're dealing with. According to what you're dealing with. So what does he have to do to get you saved? See, that's what I'm saying. I see now what the new birth more is in my life than ever. It's taking that word and just keep putting that word down. Until the devil in you has got to get out, because he's going to be exposed, because you'll somewhere raise up, or either you'll get it out of you. You'll raise up and you'll come and you'll say, Brother Dale, I don't like you. It's your family. I like you. I love you. But your family ain't doing good. Ain't none of you ever thought that, have you? Because that's the way the devil does. Certain brother in this message, he couldn't get nothing against me if I preached and the way I preached, so he attacked my family. Whether or not Anna should wear a blue jean jacket. See, he couldn't do nothing with what I was preaching. So he attacked my family. I've been in that situation many a time to where people would try their best to get me all stirred up with something. But you see, I know what preaching the gospel will do. It'll bring people in or run them out. Just keep preaching. What else you want me to do? Well, Brother Dale, if you'd just lack off and just be nice about this and this, we'd fill this place up. Well, we'd have to get another one, because if everybody's here that's supposed to be here, this place is pretty full. Right? But now listen. Go down to questions and answers. Number 16 on your notes, 1964, 8:30. Brother Branham, I want to receive the Holy Ghost. I want to know what to do. I am burdened for my family to be saved. And the sister signed her name. Now, he goes through asking Brother Neville who this is and all, and can't find out. And then he says, Sister, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because she said she wanted to receive the Holy Ghost, for they shall be filled. Now, watch what he said. What must I do for my family? Use the same faith that you're using for yourself, for your family. Commit them to the Lord and believe with all your heart that you're going that you're going to be saved. Don't let it just come on your natural thinking here. Let it drop way down on the inside, that subconscious. Then they're yours. God give them to you when you got it down here. Now listen. Whatever you have in your heart here and ask for it, when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for. Now you can't doubt it no more. You can't believe it and doubt it the same time. How many knows that? You can't believe and doubt at the same time. You got to believe that what you ask for, you receive it. Then he said it would be given to you. So just believe for your family, and they'll get it. Now, we've seen that take place. See? To ask and believe and receive. And it take place. See? All right? Why can't we just keep going on with the Word the way we're going until we walk off the earth? Because it's going to be done by the Word. Yes, but brother so-and-so, he can make me feel so good. I just feel, oh, Brother Dale, when they come and preach, I just feel good after a service. But when you preach, I feel bad. What does the soul say? What does the inside of you say? Be careful. If the inside of you says that, you got troubles. All right? Let's go on. Uncertain Sound, 1955, 0731. Now this person, what if you could ever get this soul on the inside so in harmony with God that your soul and God would be one together, then you could ask what you will and it shall be given you. Now that's dealing from conscience to subconscious. Right? Many people come to me many times in the prayer line. They stand there and say, oh, Brother Branham, I have plenty of faith. I got faith like to move mountains. And yet they haven't any faith. They hardly have enough faith to get to the platform. But they are conscious of one thing. Now they get to the platform and see they're conscious of one thing, that they do believe. They are believing intellectually with the mind. And their mind will never bring them to God. Your mind is reasoning, and God has no reasoning. The next one, he tells us we don't live by the intellectual. We live by the Holy Spirit that's in our soul. What is the subconscious then, Brother Dale? It's the soul of man. The soul of man. That if you can contact that subconscious, that's where we live at. The new birth is the birth of the Word in the soul. Not in your spirit and your body. It's in the soul. The soul is where you're born again. The subconscious is where you're born again. Trying to get you to see something and asking you a simple question. Because to me, that's why the prophet was doing that. He said, have you ever dreamed a dream? You think, oh, he just of you. Have you ever dreamed a dream? Now, everybody in here, nobody raised their hand to never dreamed a dream. So everybody in here has dreamed a dream. Now, how many of you can tell a dream you dreamed? Most all of you could really stand here and tell me the life dream you dreamed, couldn't you? You know. Or at least one you've dreamed somewhere. Right? Well, you know what? Even if it was a bad dream, do you know what that was real to you? That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That was real to you, right? You dreamed a dream of something. It was real to you. I told you about the crazy one I had. I dreamed one time I was laying on the couch and I was standing up looking at my own, in a dream I dreamed I was standing looking at myself laying on the couch, and I could tell you what I was dreaming on the couch because I was dreaming it over here in my dream and looking at it through that person who was standing there. I said, now this thing's getting crazy. I'm having a three-way dream or something. But you know what? That's real to me. Is any way, Brother Dick, you've had a dream, haven't you? You remember one of them? Good one or a bad one? Well, okay, you can't.
Eric?
Yeah, but you know what I'm getting at. That dream is real. No. You're right. Fighting, screaming. Have you ever had them, you falling off a cliff? They say if you don't wake up before you hit the bottom, that you're going to die. But I don't know. But you ever had one? You ever had a dream of an animal chasing you or some kind of something trying to kill you? You know that's real. Brother Dean used to tell me some dreams that he had about a certain place and a certain brother. And he was going to that brother's church at the time he had the dreams. So I wasn't direful to tell him he ought to check his dreams. But he always dreamed about the town that the brother lived in. And I thought, well, one of these days he's going to wake up in his dreams. And I think he did. He found out where the trouble was at. All right? See? But those dreams was real, wasn't it? You've had dreams that are just so real. So they're just, you know, like you said, you wake up sweating, you wake up crying, you wake up, and you just can't sleep because of that dream. See, that means there's something more real than what you are. That, you understand what I'm trying to say? The dream is more real than your conscious part of you. But it can't be reached a lot of times because sometimes we don't dream. And there's no way to train yourself to dream. Right? You could try it by eating a belly of beans every night, but it ain't going to necessarily do nothing but keep you awake. But listen, I believe, now we'll say this about because of the last few statements I made. I believe in the Christian realm of true Christians that we can not train ourselves. That's an incorrect word. You can't train yourself because gifts and callings are without repentance. Now, you don't train yourself to work a gift. You use the gift. But really, the gift uses you. That's a better way of saying it. The gift uses you. But see, I believe that the growth of the stature of a perfect man, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, you know what I believe is happening there? I believe that's bringing my conscience and my subconscious closer together. I believe that's bringing them closer together. You trying to be a prophet? No, I'm trying to be who I am. What are you trying to be? I'm trying to explain salvation because I thought salvation was a growth development that we were being born again by the incorruptible Word of God. I thought we were to grow in grace and knowledge. I thought we were to be partakers of His divine nature. I thought the soul was the nature of the Spirit. Where I differed with the two souls, they said the soul is just the nature. That's not correct. The soul is the nature. Your soul is the nature of whatever your subconscious is. That is your nature. If you be a sinner tonight, your subconscious soul part of you is a nature of Satan. But if you're born again, the nature of your soul is God. And by that new birth, as we keep growing, we will come out to have the perfect divine nature working throughout us, which is the soul of Almighty God. Amen. God's soul is His nature. Amen. That's what He is. That's His being. Right. That's what you are. Amen. If you're unregenerated tonight, your nature is of the world. That's what you are. That's what your soul is. But if you're born again, Your soul is taking on the nature of Almighty God. Sure, it starts as a partial realization. But up the stature of a perfect man, shouldn't we be getting closer to God? Then if we're getting closer to God, shouldn't we be getting closer to who we really are? You see what I said this morning? That it's opened my eyes to some great things. It's opened the message to me out of a lot of great things from seeing that your soul is your subconscious form of you. That I can show you by even your own dreams what your conscious part of you is and your subconscious is. Because you don't dream in your conscience. You dream in your subconscious part of you. So that's more real than the conscious part, because you go out of the way and it comes in. That prophet said he'd stand right there and dream a dream, see a vision, right while he's standing wide awake. I've only experienced it one time when I was reading scriptures about the coming of the Lord, and right straight across in my mind's eye view, I watched it come across the United States. The only vision that I've ever seen, as far as I know. But you see, that was more real than he was sitting there. What happened Wednesday night, Danny? You was feeling pretty bad, wasn't you? What happened at the end of the service? You know why? Because as I began to pray, I entered a real. And I started to challenge everybody in the building that was sick to come forth. Because I entered a realm that there was nothing could stop me. There was no doubt whatsoever could come to hinder what I saw. Danny come to me later and he said, while you was preaching right at the end, he said, it just went away. I said, that's what it's supposed to be. See, that's the Bible being fulfilled. He sent his word and healed him and delivered from destruction. See, that touched the inside of him. I told Brother Dick's daughter one day, she had a headache. I reached in my pocket and handed her a quarter. I said, I buy the headache. She said, okay, you can have it. We called back in a little while later. We went on and called. She was doing all right. Danny come outside out there one day and he said, Sam, my head's been killing me and hurting me. I just reached in my pocket and got a quarter and I handed it to him. I said, Danny, I buy the headache. He looked at me and I said, let me explain it to you. I explained it to him, what had happened with Connie. And he said, well, good, I'll take that. In a few minutes, he looked around and he said, hey, it's gone. I said, well, that's what it was. See, that's touching the inward part of you. That's getting that conscience and that subconscious together. The prophet said there's nothing wrong with your conscience and nothing wrong with your memory, reason, conscience, and affections. He said, if they agree with the word. So let's start agreeing with the word. Let God come on the scene in that word. Start believing the stature of a perfect man is building Christ in you, Brother Aaron. From the subconscious part of you, the soul is being built a person in the image of the person you are. I'm quoting Brother Branham, around your born-again experience. Pray. Pray for God to connect them conscious and subconscious. That's the way we can do it. But listen to the word, because what I'm trying to tell you, if it's something a way out like this, some way it's got to be brought together. The only way I know to bring it together is keep preaching the gospel. Just keep preaching it until one day it'll connect it together, and when it does, we'll walk off this earth. Because that real you, Sister Gail, will be what be standing there then. Why, Brother Branham said, I see once in my life, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. He said, I'm a son of Almighty God. He messaged communion, the last service he preached. He said, I see who I am. You and I are the children of Almighty God. Faith lays in the subconscious. Read that super sense. Faith lays in the subconscious. I'll go ahead and state it to you. Find it in there. It's twice. He said, you can't have that right without the new birth. You can't have that super sense without the new birth. You can only have faith for the time. It'll work. But you can only have the sixth sense by the born-again experience. Faith dwells in your subconscious. But listen, how much more should it be if faith dwells in our subconscious and we call faith a revelation? What do you think's happening as it's being revealed to you? Don't you think those two things are coming together? Isn't that the purpose of God revealing His Word to you? Have you ever had a revelation? Everybody would say, yes, I have. Well, then a revelation is more sure than your conscious part of you. But it had come through your conscience to get to you. God using the preaching of the gospel to contact you, to show you that God is with us. What I said, these people who say, well, you ain't nothing but intellect. Let them come on. Let's see what they'll stand up here and tell you what happened. And see God living among us. Till the word has been spoken over and over and over from this little group of people here, not just me, but from you. See, then I think that's what we need to keep doing. Is just keep walking in the Word until we become the Word, until we can get them connections together of the conscious and the subconscious, until we can get it where my conscience says I'm healed and my subconscious says I'm healed. Then I ain't got to worry about it. Now I'll tell you another one. Check it for this one. Because there's no way for that subconscious that's born again to ever doubt the Word. Come on. You can't deny the Word from the subconscious. That was the morning's message. I just put the word subconscious in for this evening. So then get down into it. There's no way that that Holy Spirit in you can differ. So it'd have to be your conscience that would be the one that would be arguing, not your subconscious. Because my subconscious says, by His stripes I'm healed. Terrence and Brother Harris, go ahead. Let's stand. We'll just sing without the music. They've already got the Wade went ahead and they've already got the things ready. So let's just have the communion and let's think about it. Communion is fellowship. You talk to God, God talks back. But our biggest problem is we do too much talking. I didn't say we done too much praying. I said we do too much talking. Because you can't pray too much if you can talk too much. See? Let it be, church, that you and I would let those consciences come together. He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary Street. I love you. I love you. Because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary Street. Just listen to that inward man. Even as a sinner, just listen to the inward part. Don't listen to the world and the reasoning of life. Listen to the inward part of you. You go over in Africa and you find, or in some nations, You find, well, they never heard the name of Jesus, but they're good people. Morally, they're good people. Why? Because they've got a conscience of themselves, and they've got a subconscious, because they've got a soul. And that soul is saying, go towards God, who created you. And they try to be good. Then you see their denominational systems, especially like Catholics, based upon works. They're trying to work your way in. No, not that. It's letting that conscious and subconscious come together. And to me, Brother Branham wasn't just explaining himself. We know his conscious and subconscious was together. That's no problem, right? But I believe it's possible for a born-again Christian today with the Word of God to bring that together until we can hear from that inward man. I know I preach odd and funny, but that's what I believe. I believe in salvation. Deliverance. Not a book of rules, but a deliverance by the Holy Spirit that comes on the inside and takes out that nature that I had there that even wanted to follow God to some degree, because that's the human nature. But to bring it out to her, that I can say, I love you, Lord. No matter what you do to me, I love you. And really mean it. Think on these things, all right? For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come.